Nerds, you're listening to an episode on the Nerdcore podcast feed. If you're feeling generous, please consider pledging to a tier on our Patreon at patreon.com/thenerdcore. We have tiers as low as $1 per month. Thanks so much, and enjoy the episode!
Welcome back, everybody, to the Nerdcore Podcast, the podcast reviews the movies and talks that nerd shit. This is episode 646, and it is your review of I Do Not Care If We Go Down in History as Barbarians. As always, it is the Nerd Chicana Cuticle Show, along with my wonderful co-host, Brad Young Yoda.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to a wonderful, wonderful Thursday evening.
Live and early for our patrons over at patreon.com/thenerdcore, where you can get this episode live and you can interact with us in the chat, and you get this early before anybody else gets to watch it or listen to it on Saturdays at 12 p.m. over at the $1 tier at patreon.com/thenerdcore. Brad, how are you doing today, man?
I'm all right.
All right, that was pretty simple.
I have nothing to report today. I'm just
had me thinking you were about to like let one out, man. Like you're like, I had the worst fucking day of my life today, man.
No, it was all right. No, nothing big to do ones.
So, nothing big happened today, I guess.
Nah, uneventful. So,
all right,
nothing to report.
Yeah. Work was all right.
It was work. It was literally nothing happened today, which is good and bad at the same time.
You forget the subtitle to this title, but I do care if we go down in history as bards.
Or, but I do care if we go down in history as Brads.
Brads. Yeah. Yeah. I went into work today and I just went to work and I had to, I met somebody today, Brad, who shares my exact love of Cronenberg and body horror. She's a big fan of Cronenberg. Both of our favorite Cronenbergs are Crash. So I was really happy about that.
Did you get her letterbox?
Damn straight. And she didn't fucking unfollow me, bro.
Oh, that's rough.
Yeah, bro. It just happens, bro. It happens, bro. You know, it's okay, Brad. No,
ain't nothing to be. Man.
Yeah. Funny enough, I'll talk to you after we're done here. With that said, though, that's all that went down today, man. I'm just kind of waiting to see if mail's gonna get here or not. But other than that, just another wonderful Thursday, Brad. I think tomorrow I'm going to go see The Book of Clarence, that film with Lakeith Stanfield. Lakeith Stanfield is in it. I'm not entirely sure how I can explain to you what it's about, Brad.
I'm guessing it's a book that Clarence wrote?
No, I have no idea, Brad. Oh. I haven't even seen the trailer. I've seen the poster.
I mean, that's usually how it goes, like the Book of Mark. It's usually written
the book
by
of
that
John.
Person. Yeah, it's kind of written by that individual. So I'm guessing Clarence wrote a book.
It says, luck man struggles to find a better life for his family while fighting to free himself of debt. Captivated by the power and glory of the rising Messiah, he risks everything to carve his own path to a divine life. Ultimately, discovering that the redemptive power of belief may be his only way out.
So it's a cult movie.
I guess. Is it supposed to be about like religious? I don't know.
Stacey's asking, it's not a sequel to the Book of Boba Fett?
No, not at all, my friend. Not at all.
No, that's just Mandalorian 2.75 at this point.
Yeah. Lakeith Stanfield's in it. Ana Diop is in it. Omar Sy. Yeah. That's, yeah. Oh, Caleb McLaughlin from what's it called? Stranger Things. Yeah, he's in it. Yeah. Benedict Cumberbatch, what the fuck? And James McAvoy, too?
That's interesting.
But yeah, I'm not entirely sure what this is about, Brad, but all I know is that it's called The Book of Clarence.
Well, all right.
Yeah. But other than that, Brad, I ain't really got much to report like you either, Brad.
I mean, it's got to be better than Aquaman 2.
One would hope so, Brad. But Brad, did you not see that they want to bring a director's cut of it? Because that's not the movie that was written, Brad.
I'm just going to bring up the Tommy Lee Jones meme that goes, I don't care.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Anytime now, is it the DCEU? That's what the old one is, DCEU, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Anytime that's brought up anymore, I don't care.
It's done, Brad. Why the fuck are we still having these conversations?
I don't care.
It's over. It's dead.
Yeah, it's dead.
I'm focused on whatever James Wan is doing now. I don't care about the DCU anymore.
No, I do not care. I just want another season of Peacemaker.
Peacemaker.
That's what I want, with a new opening scene.
James Gunn said that all he needs to do is write the finale, and he's done with writing season two. So
that's great.
Yeah, but if
I'm at James Gunn.
Yeah.
Put your brother in it.
Yeah. With that said, though, I guess let's go ahead and get into this, Brad. It's been a while since we've had to do a spoiler warning for a movie, so let's go ahead and do that right now. So, if you have not seen I Do Not Care If We Go Down in History as Barbarians, you should probably get out of here. But if you've seen the film, or you just don't care about spoilers, go ahead and stay. Either way, how it goes, this is your one and only spoiler warning, and it is in effect in a 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Today's introduction is going to be a mixture of three different sources, my friends. Where I'm going to read from Vinegar Syndrome first. I'm going to read a little bit of the credits here from Wikipedia, and then we'll read some trivia from IMDb. Because guess what, man?
It's only two sentences.
Two sentences long. So, I Do Not Care If We Go Down in History as Barbarians. These were the words spoken by Romania's military dictator, Marshal Ion Antonescu, in the Council of Ministers in the summer of 1941 that started the ethnic cleansing on the Eastern Front. One of contemporary Europe's most distinctive creators, Jude has come out with an ingeniously conceived film. While it unfolds slowly and in detail, it hits the viewer with a singular emotional punch. I Do Not Care If We Go Down in History as Barbarians chronicles a young theater director's efforts to stage an accurate reenactment of the Odessa massacre, in which Romanian soldiers slaughtered tens of thousands of Ukrainian Jews, despite the municipal government's attempt to censor the director's efforts. Her choice angers a city official who threatens to close the production because of its anti-Romanian take on history. However, the reaction to the stage play is one that neither anticipated. This internationally acclaimed dark satire is a timely statement about the consequences of selective and willful amnesia on a society fueled by populist sentiments. And of course, it is, you see, Brad, that's the thing. That's where I got that number for, Brad. It says here, like, preceding the massacre of 1941 of around 34,000 Jews, Roma people, and Ukrainians.
Yeah, I think they forgot a zero.
Zero, yeah.
It's more, I think we read, 340 to 400,000?
Yeah, maybe they did miss a zero. I mean, he needs to fix that. Written and directed by Radu Jude, stars Iona Jakub. Cinematography is done by Marius Panduru. Edited by Cătălin Cristifu.
Cristutu?
Yeah.
Ah.
Sits at 2 hours and 20 minutes. And actually, no, wait, what the hell? No. This is wrong, Brad. Says it sits at 160 minutes, so that's 2 hours and 40. That's not, man. They got it all wrong here.
No.
No, this is all wrong. All sorts of wrong. I'll double check that though. No budget, but it did make $39,177 at the box office.
It was probably played in one singular theater for like a week.
Yeah. In the film, Molina, played by Alexandru Davila, presses Mariana Iona Iacub on why she is focusing on Antonescu and not communism, implying political bias. In response, she states that the next project can be about communism. Radu Jude's next project, Uppercase Print, focused on repression and surveillance under Romania's communist regime. He wasn't wrong. The next project was about that.
I mean, yeah.
Asked if she was comfortable with her nude scenes, Iona Iacub says, "It's not, and I don't think it's for anyone, but in that setting where there are so many people and care was taken to have a more intimate set, you focus on so many other things that it becomes secondary, and then you're not horrified by your own nudity. And if you're focused on what you have to do, it was weirder between shots when you would take something on, then take it off again until you actually started to enter the scene. I didn't know Serban. We met a few times. That's who played the boyfriend. We met a few times, and we did a rehearsal. And after that, the first scene was to undress."
Hmm.
You had this actress there, and the first thing you asked them was about the nudity, not about what actually is going on in this movie.
Journalist, bro. Entertainment journalist.
And yet I can't. What's it called? Interview any of these high-profile actors. My God. Yeah, so this movie is 2 hours and 20 minutes long.
That's what I thought. I'm like,
140 minutes, not 160.
Is there a director's cut somewhere?
Nah. This is the only cut, man. This is like...
Okay.
Yeah, because even right here on Vinegar Syndrome, for the Blu-ray release, this is 138 minutes.
That's why you can't trust Wikipedia.
Yeah. You see? Yeah, come on.
Trying to get me to donate every year.
Yeah. And y'all be donating this year. All right, man. But yeah, I think that's a good amount of info here. Yeah. Brad, I selected this film for us to watch because and I don't care if this makes their way to their ears, but I was supposed to do this episode for Cinema Condition. I was supposed to do this movie for Cinema Condition. And the person never responded back. They left me on scene. So I said, fuck you. I'm going to fuck you and talk about it either way. Let's go. I'm going to fucking tell Brad we're going to watch this. And we're going to watch this movie and we're going to talk about it. Because, you know, I really wanted to watch this. And I wanted to do this on like a fucking setting like Cinema Condition. And
I have no opinion on the matter other than okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So you know, let's go. That's the only reason I picked it. I've been wanting to watch the movie for a while, ever since this person, what's it called, brought the film up to me. And I wanted to talk about this film. And I have to say, Brad, very clever satire, and yet it is very topical, especially in this time that we're living in right now in the United States. I think it's very, very...
Are you talking about the nationalism going on in this?
The nationalism, the clear misinformation that people are, you know, clinging on to. The fact that we live in the year 2024, Brad, and there are people that truly do deny that the Holocaust was a real thing. Was not a real thing. They're like, that goes to their head, that they believe that the Holocaust never happened.
Well, some people believe the earth is flat too, but
yeah. Now, I will understand where people, what's it called, are like, would like to correct people and be like, okay, the Holocaust wasn't just Jewish people that were being murdered, which is true because it wasn't. But the idea of like, there's people that sit out here and they actually truly believe that the Holocaust never happened, that it was not possible because those numbers are way too high. It's not possible that 4 million people were murdered. And I think it's, what's it called? I think this movie just cleverly brings all of those things to the forefront. And I think that it's well made. I can't say it's perfect, but I think it's very essential film to watch, especially right now when in the time that we're living. But Brad, what are your initial thoughts on I do not care if we go down the history of barbarians.
I mean, I'm no art film major. I haven't gone to class for this like Raul or some other people, and I'm sure that'll be brought up. So coming from just, you know, a regular public perspective, I would say the start of this film, getting people to like maybe stay and understand this film would be very difficult just for the regular public. I think at the beginning, because I think the beginning, it's a lot of topics that the American public just doesn't know about. Because when you talk about the Holocaust, we're thinking, oh, you know,
Auschwitz and
yeah, Auschwitz and the Germans. And, you know, we don't never think anything about like Romania. And if you think about it, there's been a lot of genocides throughout history. There's the Armenian. Hell, we watched a film on another one where the UN definitely dropped the ball.
Oh, yeah. Kovadis, Aida.
Yeah. So there's a lot of history not taught to Americans, mostly because it like didn't pertain to America, I guess. And that's always been kind of the thinking. If it didn't pertain to America, why should we know about it?
Why should we know it, right? If we weren't involved, why should we know it?
Yeah. If we weren't involved, why should we know it? And so I think that's kind of the struggle of this is with an American audience is you're going to be talking about this and every American person's going to be like, I did not know that. Yeah. Like, what are we talking about? Romania and mass genocide?
While we were getting bombed in Pearl Harbor, this was happening on the other side of the world?
Like that never gets talked about. But I think this film actually, in the second and third act, it really picks up. Because you have, what happens is you get that government official who's paying for this film. You get him in the mix, and then you just get this really great dialogue of back and forth of him basically saying, like, yeah, I mean, writers did say that and historians did say that, but you had this one guy who said that it happened. So why don't we go off with that one and you just, like, you know, make it so we look in a better light. Make our country look in a better light, basically. Yeah. And I mean, just the fighting back and forth between until you get really to the end. And the end really, it's really, really good. It's where the satire comes in. Yeah. And I left watching this like, was that actual public? Was that the actual public that showed up and was just there? Or was that actors? Because they were going yay when they were talking, when you had the priest talking about
the motherfucker who said true.
Yeah, you had that and they all looked like just regular people in that crowd. Like they had just showed up like, oh, what's going on here? Like
when the Red Army comes out, the Bolsheviks, the Russians, they're like booing and telling them like bastards and everything. But when the Nazis are coming out,
they're like, yeah.
They're just, yeah, or silent.
Yeah, they're silent to it. And then I mean, then you have the priest coming out and, you know, disparaging Jewish people and saying a lot of fucking shit that, you know, others would be slapped for. But the crowd is like, they're okay with it.
They're like silent and they're not saying anything. And there's people who are like, true.
But my favorite like moment is when they like put the camera on the main actress and even she's kind of standing there like, really?
Fuck. Yeah. Which, and it's just like, it's willful ignorance because like the movie hammers it into you, Brad.
Yeah.
This information is right here. This happened.
From multiple areas. It's just people, it comes back to your opinion does not make it fact.
Yeah. Like
your opinion does not make it fact.
And it's just, and it cleverly, the way that Roger Jude just does it, where it's like, okay, but why don't you make it about this? And it's like,
or dumb it down a little.
That's not what we're talking about.
Or lessen it. Or, you know, don't go fully involved in what happens. And then, honestly, I thought she was burning the actress in the building.
Yeah. I had to get a clear shot of those people that were hanging because I was like, what the fuck is that?
It's like, and before they had shown it as puppets. So,
yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I was glad it wasn't actual.
people. Yeah.
Well, but because before before that, she has that conversation with that one older guy who basically says, "This is bullshit. I'm quitting." And he just starts disparaging her, calling her a homosexual.
Yeah. And then the one guy who like wants to quit because it's like, let's go. We're supposed to be having realism in this. And it's like, the fuck are you talking about, dude? You're just trying to like, what's it called? Sugarcoat your words to say like, I don't agree with the way you're making my country look. Like if it was actual realism, she has a point. Like, why aren't you fucking dying here? Like,
and that comes down to the gist of it is they don't want to have a dialogue about all the shitty things their country did in the past. And let's face it, that's every country.
It's every country. It's right. It's our country. That's every right country. Now, Brad.
Nobody wants to look like the bad guy, or nobody wants to admit to their faults. Like they want to be like, I have been great and good in everything I've done. My country has done. And but it's like, just not true. For any country.
The way that we could move on and the way that we could actually work towards mending some of these relations is to understand where we come from and where we stand.
And it's like it's happening. The same mistakes.
Yeah. And it's like, and at this point is like, you know, and I hate to regurgitate this because it's like, you know, people will always be like, oh, big government this, big government that, but it's only, they always want to bring that up when it's like something against what they believe, but it's the truth. Now government wants to make that decision for us and say like, no, you can't teach this to students.
Yeah.
These books.
They just want government to do what they want. Yeah. That's, I mean, big or small, like it doesn't matter as long as the government does what they want it to do.
Yeah. And it's like, oh no, you can't teach my child about the Trail of Tears. I don't want him. I want him to learn that from me. So that way I can give him the misinformation that he can consume. And it's like, then you're leading these people into like this, like, what's it called? Just
well, this is where you get that bubble society of everyone just thinking the same. And then those opinions that they have, they think are facts and it's not.
Yeah. It's why the community notes are a fucking thing on Twitter.
It's true. I mean, I think Elon was the third most to have community notes on him.
Yeah. And this film shows that, Brad, because it's like, and you can't even say like, oh, it's only the older generation. Everybody is responsible for it. Because like, okay, there's some who don't want to do it because they don't like the way it makes their country look. Okay. Then there's some other ones like, well, no, I don't want to be involved with Roma. Like, I was fine with having the Jewish people in this. And it's like, but now you've got like Roma here, and like I don't want to be associated with them. And
it's just like
it's like, but they were part of this, like they were part of this history. It's like, yeah, but like I don't want to be with them. I don't want to be associated with them.
Can you film them separate? And it was just a very weird. I mean, this film brings up a lot of weird moments because this director has to face.
What do you mean? A presidential candidate has told us America's not a racist country. Just don't ask Malcolm or Martin. Yeah. And it's like I said, it's very topical to where we're living in right now, because it's like we have all these people who I said in my Letterboxd reviews, we have fucking misinformation that is like spreading like wildfire, and we have conspiracy theories that are like poisoning our youth here. And it's like,
I mean, on the political spectrum, that can come from either side.
Yeah.
Not from one side or another. It's coming from, I mean, the internet is a great thing, but also it is the most horrible wasteland you've ever seen. And it's just gotten worse for the past 15 years.
Yeah. And it's just, it's disgusting. This film like really shows it, man. And it's like, and I agree with you, Brad. It's like in the beginning, it's like, what's it called? If you want to try to hook your audience, it's going to be hard to hook them. But if that audience stays, Brad, I think that third act is so rewarding.
Well, I think it begins, like I said, it begins in that second log, that second act, when she starts the dialogue with the government official. And that dialogue, because you're like glued to that. You're kind of just like, okay. And then what he's going to say? Oh, he's going to say, oh, I want to make my country look good. And what's she going to say? She's going to be like, fuck you.
Yeah.
But and just the way like they were playing it is like, well, I have like 10 historians here and I've read all these books and they said this. And then he's like, yeah, well, the one guy disagreed. And that's basically that's basically how it goes. It's just like, yeah, the one guy kind of disagreed, and you had it in that whole crowd scene where it's like, yeah, like he actually saved the Jews. And it's like, no.
No.
Not at all.
No, he didn't.
No, where are you getting that? That is no.
Yeah, it's like, where the fuck do you get this idea? Oh my God. But clever film. I think it's a clever satire. I don't think it's perfect. I've just seen this type of movie be done better. I've seen this type of movie done better. I think that it's very clever with its humor too. I like that they kind of try to bring up this, what's it called, the background life of this director. I don't think it's executed as great. Because at the end of it, I was like, okay, so what were we going on about this baby thing for then?
I don't know. Yeah, that kind of died.
Yeah.
I don't know and if I the baby. Like, I don't know if the baby did, but.
Well, yeah, it's like
that whole dialogue. There was really no point for her. Like, there was no point for like this relationship thing. I'm not sure what they were getting at with that.
I think the only reason was like to have that first dialogue with the boyfriend. In the beginning where he was like, what's it called? Like, oh, man, they're always complaining about something. I'm like, oh, okay.
Well, and maybe he did bring up, like, why don't you just have an abortion? Aren't you a feminist? And she's like, well, yes, that's why I can, you know, fucking choose that for myself.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't have to be a part of this.
Yeah. I guess that it's just, it has a bigger, like, what's it called, sense to it?
I don't know if it was misplaced in that, but it didn't have as much, you know, details for the story that everything else did. There were, like, most of the other moments in this film, they were part of this bigger story that actually worked, and that seems like something that might have been thought of the thrown in, and the director might have had an idea of why he wanted to do that, but I don't know.
Maybe those are missing 18 minutes that are like, in the,
yeah, it's like, I just need to make 20 minutes while I'm here. Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. I don't know what that was really useful for, but I still thought it was a very effective movie. I thought it was very effective.
I do agree with you though, because the first part. I think if you're the regular watching public, the first part is not going to hook them.
No, it's not.
It's a difference, guys, when Raul's like, we're watching this for a review, and I have to sit here and actually watch the movies. I can't like just like, nah, I ain't doing it. Where I can see is just the regular public being, 40 minutes in that. In that first, and just being like, nah, I mean, it's just not catching me. But if you can make it through that,
it's a very, very rewarding,
very, very phenomenal rewarding movie.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, other than that, Brad, what's your final verdict?
I'm gonna give it a. This one's a little weird because like 2/3 of it are good. It's just that first one. Yeah. I think I'll give it a 7.5 out of 10.
All right, I'm giving it a 9. I think it's very effective. I just think that it's just I've seen it done better before, but I think that it's very effective. I think that the satire is like there's parts where it's like okay, I'm actually laughing at this stuff and but
I think it's good. I just think that first act is going to turn people off.
Yeah, yeah. Also, if you're just not used to the style of like these black comedy satires, it's gonna kind of shoot over your head at times.
I think the audience, like, I think if I was European, it'd be a whole different story because I would probably know this.
Yeah.
And but I would have figured out what they were talking about at the beginning.
Doesn't that also say a lot about us, Brad? Yeah.
Yeah.
That says a lot about us.
About our culture and.
And maybe that's education. The point of this. Maybe that's the point of this, Brad. Like, maybe that's what Rudy Jude's was expecting for at least the overseas crowd. It was the idea of like, well, then why the fuck are we learning about this? Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of those moments.
Yeah. Then again, all I know is how I felt about it. I'm going with a 9. I'm going with a 9 out of 10. But Yeah, that's our review of I Don't Care If We Go Down in History as Barbarians. And as always, we thank you all so much for joining us. As always, you can check our website at thenerdcore.com. Twitter's at thenerdcore underscore. Instagram is at thenerdcore. Patreon.com/thenerdcore for $1 a month. You get this episode live and early before anybody else gets to watch it. TikTok is at thenerdcore. Threads as well as at thenerdcore. Discord is in our description below. Our link is in the description, so go and check that out. Of course, leave a comment, y'all. What do you think about this film? Also, like, what do you think we're missing the point of some of these things, or what? Tell us. We want to know about it. So,
or maybe we're missing some information that we don't know about.
Yeah. Please just don't get any misinformation, people in here. Yeah. That's all I ask for. These days, you can't tell with YouTube, Brad. This day, you can't tell. Yeah. Someone's going to put in there in the fucking comments, you fucking idiots. The Holocaust didn't happen.
My political affiliation is I don't like either of them.
Yeah. And I don't like you if you fucking, what's it called, refuse to believe that 4 million Jewish people were actually murdered. And
I mean, because a lot of those people with random number tattoos, then tell you what.
Imagine that. Just that's the part that pisses me off. That you imagine if you could sit in front of somebody who has numbers tattooed on their arm.
Be like, you
tell them your experience didn't happen.
I would hope the same thing would happen to what Buzz Light, not Buzz Lightyear.
Buzz Aldrin. Lyman, yeah.
What Buzz Aldrin did.
Yeah.
Are you stupid?
Yeah. Yeah.
Imagine I mean, that. Stanley Kubrick's great and all, but I don't think he recreated the moon.
Yeah. Man would want to have to do like 300 shots. 300
takes. Yeah, he'd be like, you gotta jump more.
Yeah, you're doing another it wrong,
one.
Man.
Another one.
But as always, if you're watching this on YouTube, please leave a like on the video, subscribe to the channel, and click that notification bell so you don't miss a single review that drops on the channel. And of course, if you're listening to this on the audio side of things, make sure that you're leaving a 5-star review on your favorite podcast app of choice. And make sure you're following us on your podcast apps, please. We would really appreciate that. All that helps us out so much. For now, we're done. We'll see you all during the live show, guys. We're going to have a stacked week. We've got on Friday, we've got an Echo review. And then on Saturday, we got True Detective season, True Detective Night Country episode 1 review. And then on Sunday, hopefully, crossing our fingers, True Detective episode Night Country episode 2 review for you guys. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I'm sorry, guys. I was actually not aware that True Detective premiered last week, or we would have actually done a review on Sunday night.
And to be honest, we were waiting for it. Like, we had it was the 14th, and then the 15th rolled around. We're like,
oh shit. It's like, oh shit, man. This show came out.
That's what we really wanted to watch.
Yeah. So we'll be starting on that, y'all. I'm glad that we're starting to, what's it called, actually get. Films, TV shows that we want to watch. So we'll keep you all posted on that.
Yeah, because we do like covering the TV shows for sure.
Yeah. But with that said, Brad, let's get him out of here.
All right, Earl. Thank you being host as always. Thank you to Stacy for joining us in chat today. Thank you to the listeners out there, all our Patreon supporters. We appreciate each and every one of you. And to end this episode, no, you cannot run tanks in the city square, you'll break the concrete. Young Yoda out. Do it, Stacy.